Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, May 11th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
I'm Elodie.
Let's get right to the market report today. We're looking at gold today, down $4 at $11.84. Silver's down 17 at $16.33. Platinum is down $14 at $11.30, and palladium down 18 at $785. The USDX today was a little bit stronger, 0.24 at 95.03, and oil down 0.23 at 59.16. Paper markets today, it was sort of a quiet day, you know, nothing, there wasn't anything earth-shattering. You have the Dow down 10. Oh, that was a nap. What did they do with my Dow?
Look what they've done to my Dow, Mom. Look what they've done
Bizarre.
To my Dow.
Bizarre. NASDAQ down 10 points at 49.93. The S&P down 10 at 21.05. And the latest numbers I had on the Dow was down like 40 points. Oh, maybe that's why they took it off. It reversed itself down 78 points late in trade at 18,112. Not sure what, it was the same number almost all day long, and then all of a sudden it got hit. So not sure why that happened, but other than that, it was a fairly, maybe that was a flash crash right at the last minute. But certainly a quiet day in the markets. Again, gold down at 11.84, silver 16.35. Thank you, Al. All right.
Thank me for what?
Well, good news, bad news, or is this just image building? You have Volvo. They have chosen South Carolina for a new $500 million auto plant. It's the first in the United States, and it will eventually employ up to 4,000 people, the company announced today. The plant is initially expected to make about 100,000 vehicles a year, and the first ones will be ready in 2018, and it expects to employ about 2,000 people at the Berkeley County plant. It's about 30 miles from the port of Charleston, and this is over the next decade. Okay, now, eventually it's going to hire 4,000. But it's going to take 2,000 It's going to take 10 years to get 2,000 people? Don't know.
It's 200 a year.
But the state plans to borrow. So now you're having a state that has to borrow in order to bring a plant to open up that will employ 2,000 people in 10 years. State plans to borrow about $150 million to build the site. So the state is building the site and a new interchange on Interstate 26. And South Carolina did beat four other states, including Georgia. So they gave up a lot. So you have $150 million. They're built. Hey, what a great – wish someone would build me a plant. Wish the state would build me a plant, put in a new freeway, new interchange for me, so they could all come to the office and buy gold and silver.
Well, I'll send a note.
So the taxpayers
– state and try to get this done by this time next year.
So the taxpayers get to pay more in property tax that will benefit Volvo. So if they're planning on building 100,000 or selling 100,000 vehicles in a year, why don't they build their own plant? And of course, this is just the information that's released. Who knows what else went in underneath the table?
Well, you can bet that one of the other points is probably some sort of tax cuts.
That's my point, yes.
They're going to give them, if you'll come build
no
your
tax.
Stuff here, you were going to cut your taxes for the first 10 years or whatever. And blah. I don't doubt that it makes a certain amount of economic sense. You know, when you do the numbers and you crunch the numbers, it's probably makes sense. But it's the sort of thing you would think that have been in a rational world that a business said, ha-ha, I think we have an opportunity to sell Volvos. We'll make Volvos here and we'll sell them and we'll make money off of that. All right, then invest your own money and build your own plant and see if your judgment's any good. But what we have here is ultimately the taxpayers, including the potential workers at the Volvo plant, are the ones that are actually paying to build the plant, right? And they are, hoping that it'll actually succeed. And if it doesn't, who gets stuck with the bills? Volvo or American taxpayers?
Well, I think we all know the answer to that, Al.
It's a rhetorical question. But it's one of those questions. These are the kinds of questions that have to be answered, even though they've been asked hundreds of times before, Melody.
And you had four states vying for this manufacturing plant, and it's you're right. If we were in such a great economy and things were doing so well for these states, it's just that these the people are maxed out and they need more taxes, and it sort of makes a little bit sense. I'm sure this isn't the first time this has been done. It's been going on for a very long time, where you have your states and your cities just giving up everything in order to get these plants there to build something for jobs.
And I understand.
These jobs, if we didn't give the jobs away to begin with,
We wouldn't have to pay people to bring jobs back. That's right.
The death toll from General Motors and their small car ignition switches. Remember, they only at one point in time announced there was just a few people died. Well, now that has been revised to 100 of the General Motors older cars, small cars, 2.6 million. But that has increased to 100. The number was updated today by the attorney they appointed, Kenneth Feinberg, who was hired by GM to compensate the victims. And again, at first it was just a few, and now they're up to 100. So
they can probably move some of the victims or their survivors, their heirs or whatever. They can move them to wherever Volvo's building that plant, and maybe they'll be among the chosen 200. To get a job in the first year. What do you think about that, Melody?
Maybe.
Don't think that's enough compensation, or is it?
Don't know. Here's another something that was sent to me in email. And You know, it didn't have anything to do with why I'm bringing this up, but it involved Elton John, and it involved a church pastor that they were in front of Congress. Now, it was sent to me by Pastor Butch Paul, and it was more to the idea that this church pastor, Rick Warren, is appearing in Congress with Elton John to ask for more money for AIDS research. The complaint was, you know, here's, you know, openly gay and, you know, the faith and religious and so forth. You know, just my question is, what the heck are they doing, and what is Elton John doing in front of Congress asking for more money for AIDS research? You know, let him go to England and ask for more money. Why is he coming to the U.S. asking for more money? Let him go to Britain. Let him go to the United Kingdom and ask for his own country.
Because the United States is easy. We have the world's best printing presses, Melody, and we can generate more fiat dollars than anyone else on the face of the globe. And therefore, if you want to get some fiat money, America is the place to go.
Well, that's... And again, we have another thing. It was announced you just have the Democratic president and our GOP leader McConnell. They're buddy buddies, and you know, if anybody thinks that they're enemies or in politics, certainly not. But they're getting together, and I guess Obama applauded the top 10 Republican senators for confirming Lynch last month, and so this is certainly a McConnell is a big promoter of the TPP trade agreement, and Obama has thanked Congress. He's going to sign a bill giving Congress the power to review any nuclear deal with Iran.
Yeah.
And but this week the Senate will take up the trade bill. So, hey, we'll give you a little bit of this, but the trade bill is a bigger deal. So you have McConnell being there, and you know what? It's just
yeah, it's worse than what you suppose. There's an article from the Washington Times, and the headline is "Senate Forces Obama to Submit Iran Nuclear Deal mm-hmm. for Congressional Approval." All right, it sounds like the Senate is really getting tough, okay? We're going to force Obama to submit his proposal to the Congress, all right? Senators voted overwhelmingly Thursday of last week to force President Obama to submit to Congress nuclear deal he reaches with Iran, giving lawmakers a final say before the administration cancels economic sanctions on the Islamic nation. A 98-1 tally in favor of the bill was a rebuke to Mr. Obama, who had wanted to have a free hand to negotiate with Iran, but will now have to make sure whatever terms he strikes can gain the approval of enough members of Congress to stick. Now, it sounds like the Congress is really getting tough on our president, but here's the deal. The House must still vote to approve the deal, but the passage there is all but certain later this month. Still, under the terms of the bill, it will take just one-third of either chamber to back Mr. Obama in order for the president's deal to take effect. Now, here's what the Constitution says if you're getting into any treaties. It says that it requires the approval of two-thirds of the members of the Senate. Not one-third of the members of either house, and that's what this article says, two-thirds of the Senate. Right? It's a lot harder. Getting one-third is almost a snap. You can get almost anything if all you need is a third of the Congress to support it or a third of the Senate to support it. Getting two-thirds of the Senate is much more difficult. And the net result is that it's a virtual certainty. I mean, they act as if they're trying to get tough on this guy. They're giving it away. You understand? They're giving approval away because it only requires one-third of either house to make this happen. And it says, here's just reading from the article, if Congress dislikes the deal, it can pass a resolution of disapproval. Mr. Obama would then veto that bill, and it would take two-thirds to vote in both chambers to override him. It takes one-third in either chamber to get this bill through. It takes two-thirds in both chambers to stop it. Instead of two-thirds to approve the bill, it is now two-thirds to stop the bill. Senator Tom Cotton, a freshman Arkansas Republican, was the lone senator to vote against the bill. He said Congress was giving up its powers by putting the burden on Congress to deal to stop a deal rather than on the White House to sell it in the first place. A nuclear arms agreement with any adversary, especially the terror-sponsoring Islamic Iranian regime, should be submitted as a treaty and obtain a two-thirds majority vote in the Senate as required by the Constitution, Mr. Cotton said, and that's not going to happen. In relationship, this is apparently their fast-track deal for the Iranian nuclear arms agreement. All right. Now, we can only wonder, or at least at the moment, I'm left to wonder, if this is the kind of fast-track agreement they're going to get tough with on Obama and force him to do the same thing for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Which is to say, if they're going to get as tough with the TPP as they're getting with the Iranian deal, they might just as well leave the doors open to Fort Knox, the Federal Reserve, and just let people go help themselves for whatever they find inside. If there's any gold left there, just take it. They don't care. Nobody cares. The store is not guarded. We are giving things away. And we are, more importantly, the government is openly violating the terms of the Constitution. We have a government engaged in open treason against the people of the United States of America. And they're going to get away with it because most people don't understand what the Constitution says. Most don't care. And if the government says, look, if we can find one congressman alive or dead who's willing to support this bill, we're going to enact it and raise taxes on the people. It's something that's just disgusting. It's wrong. It's treasonous. It's a clear and open violation of the Constitution, and nobody seems to care. So
that's true, Al. Nobody seems to care.
Yeah, no, that's the problem here.
There's a meeting at Camp David this week, and that says the Saudi Arabia king won't attend meetings this week,
yep,
and it's fairly quiet. But there's been many other Gulf heads of state that said that they will not attend the summit, and other Arab leaders that are not going to attend. They're going to send more junior leaders,
mm-hmm.
and they see this as a rebuff to Obama's negotiations with Iran over its nuclear ambition. So it's just not King of Saudi Arabia that's not coming. It's many more, and that was from the BBC.
Well, even so, it's a strong slap against President Obama and the United States foreign policy. There's an article here from the New York Times, says King Salman upends status quo in region and the royal family. A few months since the death of King Abdullah in January, the new king of Saudi Arabia, Salman, has moved fast to reshape foreign and domestic policies. He's rattled alliances with the United States and regional powers that for decades have been the bedrock of stability for his kingdom and also for the Middle East. King Salman, 79 years old, has shifted towards an activist foreign policy, going to war in Yemen and increasing support for rebels in Syria as he positions his country as the defender of the region's Sunnis. That means he is, of course, against the Shiites, the Shia in Iran and a couple of other countries. Domestically, he's made sweeping changes, promoting younger officials, firing those deemed unfit, and giving enormous authority to his untested son, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, 29 years old. We can see that the current King Salman, 79, does not expect to live forever, and he is apparently grooming his son, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, to be the next king of Saudi Arabia. He's shown close ties to religious conservatives and raising questions about the fate of his predecessor's limited reforms relative to Islamic faith in Saudi Arabia. We're going to see a more theocratic Saudi Arabia. That's one of the implications. And here comes the next article from the New York Times. Saudi Arabia says King won't attend meeting with the U.S. as recently. Well, I can do, we do that when we get back from our commercials, because it's interesting. All right. There's a couple of points here. Even though you know what this is about, there's some interest in this article. Melody and I will be back in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind folks, with prices down, it's a great opportunity to be buying gold and silver, adding to your accumulation for gold and silver. We got some great prices. We're continuing the 2015 special. And I just want to remind folks that we do have IRAs available. The company we use as the custodian is Gold Star Trust. We've been dealing with them for 20 years, and there's been some new ones popping up, some new ones that tell you that you can take physical delivery of your coins. Personally, in my opinion, I wouldn't. I mean, if you want to perhaps fight with the IRS in the future, then, you know, that's your choice. But, you know, we use Gold Star. We don't use anyone else. Once in a while, a new company will come by. We'll try them out, or they improve their service, and they just never seem to do as well or stay around as long as Gold Star does. So I do back Gold Star. We are a representative of Gold Star, and we work with them. They are the custodian. We supply the gold and silver for the IRA. Now, people will say to me, well, why do you want an IRA when your product is stored at the Delaware Depository? And I say, well, what's the point of keeping your money in paper? If you don't want to bite the bullet, you don't want to take a you don't want to pay the penalties, you don't want to pay the taxes, which you should be doing if you're thinking of that, the next best thing would be an IRA for gold and silver. And yes, it is stored at the Delaware Depository. So does it carry risks? Well, sure, you don't have physical delivery of your product. But that is something that you know up front. Once you are 59 and a half and you begin to take your distributions, you have a choice of whether you want the product or whether you want to sell the gold and take cash. So there are options open to you once you become 59 and a half. So if you'd like more information on the IRA, please give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
You know, the idea of having, you get the special deal when you're 59 and a half.
59 and a half.
Okay, the last time I thought about my age in terms of and a half, okay, I was like 4 or maybe 7 or 10. I'm 10 and, how old are you? I'm 10 and a half. I'm 10 and three quarters. I'm 10 and 10 months. All right, when you get to be... When you get to be 59, you don't necessarily need anybody rubbing it in and saying, how old are you? 59 and a half. You're not just 59. Now you're 59 and a half. I don't,
well,
that,
Al.
That interests me, Melody. It kind of amuses me a little bit. You know?
Well, that's fine. But, I mean, that is the age for the IRA. And when they begin, you know, filling, by the time you fill out the paperwork and getting everything in line, yeah, you probably are 60 by then, but it is 59 and a half for an IR.
Well, that's one thing. 59 and a half is better than 60. I guess that's, look on the bright side. Is the year half empty or half full?
We can all write to, you know, whoever, you know, to the IRS and find out why they chose that age.
I have no idea. It would be an interesting question, but who would know?
But it isn't an important.
Who would know? It just, that's the way it landed. That's where it landed on the dartboard. That's the way we do it. That's the way we make up our minds, the way we set our laws in this country. Somebody throws a dart at the dartboard and bingo.
Well, we're concentrating on the age instead of the importance of the availability of an IRA that is available for some, that they can transfer their funds from some of their investments and place gold and silver in their IRA. So it is an important feature. It's not for everyone, but if they do need details on an IRA, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
We're talking about the situation in Saudi Arabia, and read that first headline, King Salman upends status quo in region and the royal family. King Salman, 75 years old, has replaced King Abdullah, who died last January. The new king apparently is going to be an activist. He's making changes, all right? I don't know how long he's going to last, but he's making changes. Here's the second headline. Saudi Arabia says king won't attend meetings in the United States. As recently as Friday, right, last Friday, the White House said that King Salman would be coming to resume consultations on a wide range of regional and bilateral issues. That's according to Eric Schultz, a White House spokesman. Fridays, oh yeah, he'll be here. But on Sunday, the state-run Saudi press agency said the king would instead send Crown Prince Mohammed bin Nayef and the Saudi Interior Minister and Deputy Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, the Defense Minister. Arab officials said they viewed the king's failure to attend the meeting as a sign of disappointment with what the White House was willing to offer at the summit meeting as reassurance that the United States would back its Arab allies against rising Iran. Well, it wasn't the king's failure to attend. It's the king's refusal to attend. And when they say he is as a sign of disappointment, I don't think he's disappointed. I don't know how you say pissed in Arabic, but I'm going to guess that the guy is pissed. I don't think he's disappointed. This is significant for this reason. For nearly 44 years, the fiat dollar's perceived value has been based on its standing as the world's petrol currency. If you wanted to buy crude oil on the international market since 1971, you had to pay with fiat dollars. That gave the dollar a perceived value after the Nixon administration stopped redeeming foreign-held dollars with gold back about 1971. The reason the fiat dollar became the world's petrocurrency was that Saudi Arabia agreed back about 1972 to sell its crude oil only for dollars. Once the Saudis agreed to sell only for dollars, OPEC followed suit, and the result was if the entire world began to value intrinsically worthless fiat dollars as petrodollars. If you wanted to buy crude oil, you had to have dollars, right? That was the deal. That gave the dollar value, despite the fact it was no longer backed by gold. My point is that Saudi Arabia laid the foundation for creating the petrodollar that gave the fiat dollar a perceived value on international markets. It follows that if the Saudis simply started taking other currencies in addition to the fiat dollar for Saudi oil, and if they started, whatever stature remains, the petrodollar would tend to erode, and dollar inflation might become significant. The dollar is still, to some extent, the petrodollar because Saudi Arabia and some other countries are still trading. They'll only take dollars for crude oil. But if Saudis quit, we can bet that the rest of the countries will say, okay, we'll take euros. We'll take yuan. We'll take rubles. We don't care. They're not going to stop taking U.S. dollars, but they'll start taking other currencies. And when they do, the dollar's claim on the status of petrocurrency or petrodollar is going to be badly diminished, perhaps destroyed. And if that happens, what is going to sustain the value of the dollar? This is the kind of thing that could trigger some significant inflation, maybe even hyperinflation. Now, this isn't exactly news. Everyone has known for years that the Saudis could pull the plug on the petrodollar, but the Saudis didn't do so while King Abdullah was alive. But now that we've got a new king, King Salman, and that's S-A-L-M-A-N, not Solomon, Salman. He's not only in charge, but disappointed with U.S. foreign policy, the possibility that the Saudis might start taking other currencies for their crude oil is at least growing. The possibility is growing. We don't know that it's going to happen, but it seems inevitable that they're going to do this. I mean, why shouldn't they take why shouldn't they take euros for Saudi crude? Why must they take only dollars? I understand there may be some treaty obligations. It's worked well in the past. But they are beginning to have disappointments with the United States foreign policy. And it wouldn't be a surprise if they simply said, look, we're going to start taking euros or yuan. Or rubles. Well, of course, the Russians aren't buying any crude oil, but nevertheless, we'll take currency. We'll still take dollars, but other currencies as well. Petrodollar disappears. Fiat dollar loses the presumption of wealth. The perception of wealth disappears. We see significant inflation. Hard to say where it goes from there, but the story coming out of Saudi Arabia is King Salman. He just might pull the plug on the petrodollar. And this is another one of those black swans that are out there. You know, we talk about these black swan events, and there's a bunch of them that could take place at any moment. And when they do, we could see something significant. Right? And potentially, certainly, it would be life-changing. Saudis, this, if the Saudis start taking currencies other than the U.S. dollar, we're going to see some big changes in this country. Will it happen? Don't know. Could it happen? Seems more likely now than it was 6 months ago. So, what do you think, Melody?
Well, I think the, you know, one of the agreements also is for that deal to be done for the petrol dollar was we would be there militarily for them.
Oh, I know.
And with what is happening in the Middle East, it now does not look like we are. What I think is interesting more than anything, here you have an old guy, 79, and it's going to be his son. He's grooming his son. And I think perhaps if there's going to be any changes, you're dealing with a 29, 30-year-old, assuming this king.
Salman
has, not too many years left. Yeah, so
79.
Yeah, he's 79. So you have a new king that, at being 29, has been educated. He has been educated in a different world. And so I think whether or not King Salman, while he is alive, is grooming to pull the ties from the petrodollar in the U.S., I would think most likely his son would, only because the new ideas and the thinking of the younger generations.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Whether it happens in the next 6 months or the next 6 years, nobody knows, but it's going to happen. Just because if someone came in and said, Melody, you can only sell gold on checks from Bank of America. If somebody sends you a check from another bank, you can't sell any gold. You're not going to go along with that deal. That better be a heck of a deal. They must have. They've got to give. Okay, I'll only take Bank of America checks, but I've got to be able to charge what? Double? You know, in order to make that work, because you're going to lose a lot of business. It makes just sense that Saudi Arabia and OPEC will start to sell their crude oil for currencies other than dollars, especially when the price of crude oil has been falling. Even now, it's still down almost half compared to what it was a year ago. It's regained some. It's not down that much, but it's probably down 45% compared to where it was a year ago. That puts a lot of stress. It means, I don't care. I'll sell that crude oil. What do you got? You got dollars? I'll take dollars. Got euros? We'll take euros. I'll take gold. I'll take diamonds. I'll take whatever you got in order to sell some crude oil. That can't be ultimately good for the U.S. dollar. So, another article here. This one's from Bloomberg. And the headline is, America's future got $7 trillion worse since the financial crisis. This just cracks me up. Still feeling uncomfortable about that tax bill you owed last month? Think about it this way. If you didn't pay it, America's fiscal future would look even worse than it does now, 6 years out from the financial crisis. Driven by higher interest costs, Social Security and Medicare for baby boomers, as well as tax cuts made permanent in 2012, the federal debt held by the public is expected to hit $40 trillion in 2035, according to calculations by the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. All right. Back in 2009, soon after President Barack Obama took office, the forecast for 2035 burden was at least $7 trillion lower. So they're guesstimating that, in a ballpark figure, over the next 20 years, we're going to have an extra $7 trillion on the national debt as compared to what they projected before Obama took office. What the heck is $7 trillion, Melody, over 20 years? It's a triviality. All right, we're supposed to run around and say, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. There's going to be an extra $7 trillion in debt over the course of the next 20 years. This is just shocking, I tell you. The truth of the matter is the debt. They tell you it's $18 trillion. Again, I harp on this on a regular basis. John Williams thinks it's closer to $100 trillion. And the Congressional Budget Office and economist Loris Kondratiuk said, including unfunded liabilities, it's over $200 trillion. What difference does an extra $7 trillion make? It's a triviality. And it just cracks me up. This is headline news. This is big news coming from Bloomberg. 7 trillion worse. Oh, good. What are we going to do about it, Melody? What shall we do?
It's just part of the conditioning of the people. That's all. That's all it is.
So.
And you know what? It cracks me up more than anything. And again, it says driven by higher interest costs, Social Security and Medicare for baby boomers. Well, how about welfare? They never put in welfare. It's always the old people, the baby boomers. Let's blame everything on the baby boomers. Well, how about the higher interest or the higher cost of welfare?
And that's
people
welfare,
don't have jobs.
Unemployment.
Food stamps. Let's call it what it is, food stamps.
The whole thing is insane.
It's crazy, but blame those baby boomers, why don't you?
Somebody.
Let's cut them off, give them Obamacare so they can hit the death panels. We can get rid of the old people, the baby boomers, and then everything will be fine.
Let's take a break for some more commercials, and Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, there's a headline out of the, I'm not sure which publication this is, but it's Obama's Pacific Trade faces a Senate vote this week, and he is actually hiring the same people in order to get this promoted and to get this passed. So the more this is in the headlines and the more this remains a difficult position, maybe phone calls, the recognition of this disaster of a trade bill is making it more difficult for him to get this done, more so than what he thought. I believe he's looking to hire the same ones that had pushed through the Obamacare. And so So it's the important part is pick up those phones and keep calling, because he's not having the easy task of getting this promoted and passed as he thought he would.
Well, it's not a question of calling Obama, because he's not running for election.
I didn't mean Obama.
I understand that, but I'm just making it clear. You've got to call your congressman and your senator and lean on them and tell them, if you guys ever want to get elected again, don't you support, don't you let Obama get away with this Trans-Pacific Partnership. This is going to work out just like NAFTA. And just as Ross Perot warned back in 1992, you pass NAFTA, there's going to be a giant sucking sound and the jobs will be sucked out of this country. They have hollowed out the industrial base of this country. We were a prosperous nation, except for governments. Oh, we've got a great idea. It'll be NAFTA and it'll be free trade and it'll be wonderful. And all it did was gut our economy. And if we go through this Trans-Pacific Partnership, we're going to get another dose of the same. And if you want to sit on your hands and do nothing about it, well, fine. That'll mean, and you won't have any jobs, and your kids won't have any jobs, or at least not the industrial jobs we've had in the past. And we'll just urinate this country away. We don't have to worry about it. Just let the Congress get away with this stuff. Or you can stand up on your hind legs, get on the phone, get on the email, and make it abundantly clear that you're not just talking about it. That you will identify the congressmen who vote to support this, you'll identify the senators, and when the next election comes around, you won't vote for either one of them. They voted for Trans-Pacific Partnership. Make it clear, they will not get your vote if they are the last politicians on the face of the earth. They still won't get your vote.
We can't, it's so absurd. We can't pull jobs away from China. Really? Is that what they're pushing on the American people, to think that, we're gonna get into this trade agreement and compete with jobs for China? Really? China's out there buying robots to replace their own people. No, do you really believe that we can compete with China and all these third world nations that are, they'll benefit from us? But we certainly won't benefit from them. It lowers the low tariffs that remain. They're already lower. They're going to lower those. So get on those phones. But I thought perhaps with Obama needing to sign up people to promote his trade agreement, that maybe he's getting a little more pressure than.
The Congress is the one that's getting the pressure, and he's signing these people up to influence, to lobby.
Yes, the president is
lobbying the Congress.
He's lobbying the Congress.
You're giving them trips on Air Force One.
Yep.
Ooh, why don't we send them down to Disney World or Disneyland or Knott's Berry Farm or someplace? We can give them a Carnival Cruise Line trip. How about that, Melody? It is just disgusting. The president is supposed to enforce the law. He's not supposed to enact it, and he's certainly not supposed to lobby for them. And yet that's what we have right now. We talked earlier in the program about how the procedures that they were going to allow for deciding on whether the nuclear arms treaty with Iran, the procedures are unconstitutional, not even close. And the government says, it doesn't matter. We don't have to pay attention to the Constitution. We'll see more of that mentality with regard to Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the only way it's going to be stopped is if people listening to programs like this one get on the phone, get on the internet, send the email, send phone calls, tell your congressman, tell your senator that you will remember him if he supports Trans-Pacific Partnership. What else we got, Melody?
I saw a short interview with Donald Trump. I guess his ratings are moving up in the polls. They finally added him to the polls as a potential candidate for president 2016. And he's getting standing ovations and everything where he goes and makes his speeches. He's really passing a lot of the Tea Partiers and so forth. And I just really thought to myself, he's really saying the right things. He's the new Ross Perot. And he's saying the things that people want to hear about immigration. He says, I'm a builder. He says, I'm going to build the biggest fence on the border that anyone's ever seen. People are standing up applauding.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I don't think he's the answer to all our problems. You know, I certainly don't, you know, I'm sure.
He's a better answer than a lot of the alternatives.
In a lot of these areas. You know,
he's popular precisely because people despise Congress. It's only something like 10% of the American people that have a positive impression of the Congress and the Senate. I mean, we could get gangsters, overt gangsters, and run them for president and say, yeah, we'll whack some. We'll just shoot them. That's all. That's all. You vote for me and I'll shoot the opposition.
Well, it amazes me.
People would rather elect an overt criminal who might do what's right for this country than elect another Republican or Democrat who can be depended on to sell us down the river.
What's amazing, their approval rate is 10% or less, and yet the same people get elected in there.
I understand that.
It's just bizarre, but it was interesting to listen to Trump and his friend, the football guy, Brady, you know, and then he goes on and says, you know, Brady's my friend, I'm going to back him, I don't think he did anything wrong, and they said to him, well, you know, the proof, you know, sort of shows that, you know, he was very much involved in, you know, the football flatness or whatever. And, you know, Trump is going to back him no matter what. So, you know, then his credit.
So what are you saying? That's exactly right.
You
got guy who's in favor of crony capitalism.
Yep.
I mean, Trump will not be a perfect answer, but he'd be at least an expression of public disgust and contempt for the majority of the politicians. That's what he's going to be. I mean, people vote for him because they're just fed up with Congress. They're fed up with the Senate. I don't care if Trump is good, bad, or indifferent. He may, you know, maybe he'll do something that'll do us some
good. He's going to, by him speaking like that and by him bringing what he brings, it's going to have to raise the bar on all the other politicians that are running. So he will be bringing issues to the table that needs to be discussed.
I agree, and it'll be in its own way. It's like we're talking to people in the audience saying, look, you got to call your congressman, call your senator, send them email, do what you got to do, make them understand they can't do trans-Pacific partnership. Trump is the equivalent of those kinds of phone calls. Whatever he does right now, every politician in the race is beginning to see, I'm going to have to move over in favor of the public rather than in favor of the New World Order and global free trade. And they're at least going to have to give us lip service. Of course, once they do, they won't care. If they get elected, they'll forget their promises. Who knows? Trump might keep his word. At least some of his word. We'll watch and see. But even if he doesn't, it would give me great satisfaction to see him run the Republicans and the rank-and-file Republicans and rank-and-file Democrats out of contention for the White House.
He said of lobbyists, I don't talk to them. Yeah. He says they can call and do it. He says, but I don't talk to lobbyists.
Well, he doesn't
need to. They're done.
He's got enough of his own.
He's talking like when he's in, you know, he says that lobbyists aren't going to sway his decisions.
I understand that. And I believe that's probably, he certainly looks like he might stand up to that, you know, and live according to those standards. I've got another article here from the New York Times, which is interesting to me. Because if you believe in morality and justice in this world, this is the kind of story that makes you wonder if maybe there is some. You know, at times you can sit back and say, you know, the crooks just get away with it, and they get away with it, and they get away with it. And nobody's really trying to stop criminal action in this country right now, certainly not at the top. White-collar crime, you know, we will get the poor people, get the blacks, get the poor white trash, get the Hispanics. We got to get tough on them, but nobody's got to get tough on Congress and the people at the top. Well, here's the headline. Frank DePascale Jr., Madoff aide who pleaded guilty in fraud, dies at 58. Frank DePascale Jr., top lieutenant for Bernie Madoff, who helped carry out one of the biggest frauds in Wall Street history, died on Thursday. He was 58. The cause was lung cancer, said his lawyer. Mr. DePascale had been out on bail, waiting a sentencing hearing in September after pleading guilty in 2009 to 10 felony counts, including conspiracy and tax evasion. Mr. DePascale faced a prison term of up to 125 years, a sentence he hoped to have significantly reduced because of his extensive cooperation with federal prosecutors. Well, I don't know. One thing, if you're going to have a sentence significantly reduced from 125 years, let's cut it in half to 60, okay? Hooray! Hooray! I've only got another 60 years to go in the slammer. That's not really cause for celebration. But
there's
my
been...
point is, this guy played fast and loose.
Well,
all right? He was involved in defrauding a lot of innocent people out of their money. And he probably lived very large for a period of time and probably thought, hey, this is cool.
Well,
and now he gets struck down. Now, I don't know that that's God's will. I don't know what that is one way or another. To me, it's an interesting story.
Let me finish before we go off the air. Nothing is as it seems. And you have to remember, you have J.P. Morgan that was highly involved with Madoff. And this guy is working with the federal prosecutors. And you can only know that he... if he goes to jail, he's going to start writing books. He's going to start telling the truth, possibly. So I think Bernie Madoff didn't squeal because he was protecting his family. And look what happened to his family. Yeah. I think this story is much bigger, and I think there's a lot more to it than just a guy who died of lung cancer at 58. I'm not creating any conspiracy theories. However, it does kind of,
Yeah, it's like
Arsenio
Hall.
I mean, these are big players. J.P. Morgan, big. I mean, these are big players in this game, and
No, I understand. It's just one of those things. I'm not in favor of anybody dying young. I'm not, But I look at this, and it's just I can imagine this guy. He thought he had the world by the tail 10 years ago. And now he finds out, no, he doesn't.
Morality, justice, or something?
I don't know what happened here exactly, but this is a strange, strange story. And again,
they had Bernie Madoff in jail for how long now? And it's taken this long from 2009 to 2015 to get sentenced? No, there's a lot more behind this deal, but it's probably something we'll never know the truth of.
Yes. Well, I agree. But it's one of those things that, on one level, I'm not wishing anybody, including Mr. DePascale, any bad luck. But on the other hand, it really does feel like he got a dose of justice here. And I don't suppose he much enjoyed it. But maybe there's a lesson here for all of us. Maybe we all need to learn that maybe the world doesn't just run on our ability to cut corners and play fast and loose and just laugh and joke about how much money we were able to hustle out all the dummies out there in TV land. Maybe you have an obligation to do what's right. And it would certainly be a good thing if the public interpreted this that way. I don't expect that many people will, but it would be an improvement if people thought there were forces at work that will impose justice. You want to be a crook? You're barely smart. You know how to rob people of billions. I'm not talking about stealing hubcaps or something. That's for idiots. But you know how to steal billions? Maybe there's forces at work that will put you back into a system of justice. Might not find it in the courts, but it might be here just the same. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you folks for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Thanks, folks. I'm Alfred Adams.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.